Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all and good to welcome you from different churches from around the city. And good to be together tonight as we begin this period of focused prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And it's good to join not just together in Litchfield, but we're joining together with Christians from all over the world in what has been described as a great, a global wave of prayer that is, it will be going around the world. And with a specific aim of praying for new Christians, for people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And so that's kind of the main focus. Although tonight, in what we're going to do, I want to ask you to try and imagine and use this phrase, what if God's kingdom was to break in power in any one of 100 and more situations or into someone's life? So the kind of underriding theme, if you like, the main theme is, yes, praying for new Christians, but the underriding one is, what if? And so in what we're going to do, which I'll explain later tonight, we're looking at that, what if God broke in to those situations, into that person's life, into that situation on the other side of the world? What would it look like if God's kingdom truly came in that situation or in that person's life? So hold that in your minds as we go through this evening. As we come together to pray later on in the service. And that's what we're going to spend a large chunk of this evening doing, is praying. And also perhaps listening, doing a bit of listening to God. Because of course prayer, we always say prayer is a two-way thing and that God can speak, God speaks to us. But that might happen only if we shut up long enough to let him do that. Part of what we're going to do later on is listening to God, what God would say to us about his world, about his kingdom and how it would look in someone else's life or in that situation. So listen, we'll be listening to God as well, hopefully. So we're going to start with some worship, and right away we want to focus on Jesus and center on Jesus. And so we're going to sing, Jesus, Be the Center. Stand and sing.
Be my life, Jesus.
because Jesus, we've allowed Jesus to be the center of our lives, we have experienced the great kindness, the mercy, and the grace of God in our hearts and lives. And so we have many reasons to give praise and glory to Him. 10,000 reasons. Offer our praise to you. for all your love, for all your kindness, for all your grace and mercy that has been made known to us. And by your grace, we know you strong to save and deliver us. And we bless you and praise you for the hope we know day by day, because we open our hearts and lives to you. So we bless you and we praise you, Lord, for such a hope. And tonight, as we gather together, Lord, as we meet to pray and to focus on praying for others to know that love, so, Lord, we just so give you our thanks and our praise first, and honour you as our Lord and Saviour, and for all the amazing grace that you have made known to us through Christ, who lived his life to show us your love, who died for us, bringing us that grace of forgiveness for our sin, and through his mighty resurrection, giving us the hope of life and opening up the way for us to know that as a reality in our hearts and lives. So, Lord, come to us now, and as we sing in a moment Amazing Grace, help us just to rejoice and to be filled with that sense of true thankfulness at that amazing grace that has been made known and shown to us. So come to us, Lord, and come, Holy Spirit, be in all that we do tonight. We offer you this time, we offer you ourselves. Come to us and minister to us and through us, and use this time to challenge us and show us more of your way, of your kingdom way. So we offer you this time now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we stand to sing one more song for now. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amen. Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the great working of his power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We praise God for his word. Amen.
Say it on my order of service, word singular. Thank you. <Okay. laughs> However, I do have one or two other words to share. You will not be surprised at that. And perhaps a few more words than we'd originally anticipated, given the events of this week. Because we meet here in response to an invitation that was issued a long time ago by the leaders of many churches in this country, but which has now gone, as was hinted earlier, somewhat global. That invitation to pray from Ascension Day, which is today, to Pentecost the week on Sunday, with the intention of holding before God those that do not yet know the love of God in Jesus Christ. In fact, that's an invitation not just coming out from the Archbishop of Canterbury. I believe it comes from our Lord himself. But what is interesting is the timing. Because as you will know, on Monday, in Manchester, my home city, there was a major terrorist outrage. And so in a sense, we are meeting to pray with that shadow somewhere behind us. And I do believe we need to acknowledge it and weave it into our prayers, because otherwise our prayers could be accused of being detached. Because let's be honest, not everybody likes prayer. I was having a trawl around the internet this afternoon, and I came across this little gem from a blog site called Progressive Secular Humanist. Amen, preacher. Anyway, on May 23rd, which was yesterday?
Tuesday.
With the heading, "Don't pray for the minister," were these words: "Prayers are not the answer. In fact, prayers are the problem. For those who believe they are left with two options. For those who believe they are left with two options. Either God helps the terrorist kill and maim the innocent, or God watches and does nothing while the terrorist kills and maims the innocent." Then he goes on to say, "The uncomfortable truth that many simply cannot accept is that God most probably does not exist, and that prayers are ultimately futile gestures expressing existential desperation and metaphysical confusion." If you're struggling with the phrase existential desperation and metaphysical confusion, my curate will enlighten you. That's the polite bit. There were then various references that would liken prayer to a certain type of action, which I won't go into. Some people don't like praying. And yet it seems to me, in the aftermath of Monday, what we've seen is a human yearning for people to come together, for people to express what I believe is a form of prayer, a form of reaching out to sometimes the God they cannot name. Even to the extent in St. Anne's Square, Manchester, today, at the end of the silence this morning, there was a spontaneous rendition of the Oasis song, Don't Look Back in Anger. And it sounded like a prayer, interestingly enough. I think the progressive secular humanist does not understand his own constituency. Because deep in the human heart, we have a yearning to reach out. A yearning for community. A yearning to identify. Solidarity. And maybe that's a good starting point to offer the prayers of this season. That which is maybe implicit, that maybe is a yearning, becomes named. That the God that people reach out for in times of tragedy becomes a reality. And it's really good we're meeting here today in unity. Because sometimes when we think about prayer, we don't reflect enough on some of the basic conditions. I'm minded of the words of Psalm 133, which says this: how very good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard. Now, I know only some of us can identify with what that feels like. The rest of you use your imagination. Precious oil running down the beard, even Josh, running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robe. It's meant to be an image of abundance, an anointing, blessing. And the psalm ends, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. So I think the first thing I want to say is a challenge to all of us, is, are we united? For the Christian church to dare to pray, thy kingdom come, the theme of these days, and live in disunity is a contradiction to our prayer. Our Father, not mine, not yours, our. That's the language we deal with. That's the language of God. And I just want to say from the outset, it's a privilege to be standing in this church, sharing a word, to stand in unity with you, with all of us together. I think that's one of the key gifts of this season. And in a way, we are simply reflecting not only the will of God in that, but the best of our human instincts, which have been shown in the past few days. It is good and pleasant, and the Lord commands a blessing when that is there. But just to respond to my progressive secular humanist friend, dare I say it, I think he's got a fundamental misunderstanding about what prayer is. And I'm going to illustrate it by a little piece of the book of Joshua. This is Joshua chapter... find it. Chapter 5, reading from verse 13, where it says, once when Joshua was by Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, are you one of us or one of our adversaries? Are you one of us or one of our adversaries? Are you on our side or the enemy's? He replied, neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and he said to him, what do you command your servant, my Lord? The commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. I think that's a very profound insight. I'd love to have a conversation with progressive secular humanists and say, do you realise that when we pray, if our prayer is pure, we are not claiming God is on our side? Much more important is the question, are we on God's side? I actually believe that's true of a genuine Muslim as well. God is not on anybody's side. Are we on God's side? We pray, thy kingdom come, not ours, not Christendom's kingdom, God's kingdom. And I guess that's the second invitation to us, to think a little bit bigger in our imaginations. Have we brought God down to our size? Do we think he's our tribal chief rather than the king of heaven and earth? And that reading that Ian read to us, deliberately I chose that for Ascension Day because it's a reading which talks about God's majesty, how God is exalted, how God is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, how God is simply beyond our words. Are you one of us, one of our adversaries? Neither. And I guess then our invitation, if we want to see people come to know this God, we must let him be God. And maybe that might be our prayer. Bill over there and I spent a rather interesting day on Tuesday, the day after the bombing. We went to an event in Birmingham that we thought was a conference, did we not? It was billed as a conference. It said it was a conference about healing the land. And because of some ministry we were involved in, we thought this would be really interesting to go to. We had quite bargained that it was a great time of worship and prayer. And we had quite bargained how much of a Manchester focus there would be. And there's about 100 people there, mainly from a Pentecostal charismatic constituency, which I feel very comfortable with, seeking God about those issues. And I noticed something I've never seen before. As well as lots of prayers for Manchester, we actually pray God's blessing upon our Muslim neighbours. Now that might not seem very radical to some of us. It might actually be several steps too far for others. But within that constituency, that would not have been prayed, perhaps even 5 years ago. And it was prayed not in a triumphalist spirit, but not in a spirit that was claiming we're all the same, but in the spirit of love, in the acknowledgement of God. And what was noted was that the Muslim season of prayer known as Ramadan begins this weekend. And some who are inclined prophetically feel there's something very significant about that. We will be praying, thy kingdom come. Let us pray blessing, not only on those who have no faith, but those of other faith, that God may be revealed. Which incidentally means we have to pray for ourselves as well. Are you one of us or one of our adversaries? Neither. So unity. Vision of God. But also a basic conviction that prayer actually is the answer. Archbishop Justin Welby, writing a blog today, well, not that he wrote it today, he published it today, reflecting on how we can pray in the aftermath of tragedy. Simply says this, prayer moves us closer to God and to each other. It's a two-way process. It's very hard to be at enmity with somebody you have shared deep prayer with. In fact, try it. You will do violence to yourself. Prayer moves us closer to God and to each other. It connects us with people we otherwise cannot see. Prayer breaks down division because we take each other's hands and find our safety in God. I think that's a lovely image of what we're trying to do. When we pray for someone else to know the love of God, we're not asking that they become a member of our club. We're not asking that they share our experience. We're praying that deep within there is a revelation of the truth, that they are loved by God, they are cherished by God. And that actually the only place we find our safety is in God. And that thought is echoed from a rather surprising source, well, to me anyway, because if you know your Anglican ecclesiology, you'll know we're part of a global network of churches that don't always get on with each other. And one of the churches we often don't get on with, quite frankly, is the United States Episcopal Church, who has something of a reputation within our circles of being a wee bit provocative, shall we say. The presiding bishop of the United States Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, said this. This was on Facebook today. Prayer changes the chemistry of the moment. Prayer changes things. If God is listening, that changes the equation of the moment. That's a faith-filled comment. And he goes on to say, if you want things to stay the same, don't bother to pray. But if you want to change, and you want the world to change, pray. Because that's the invitation. It suggests to us that when we pray, we're not only praying for others, we are always at the same time praying for ourselves. Because we always remain sinners in need of the mercy of God. We always remain debtors to the grace of God. We always remain desperate people, knowing that only God can satisfy. So let us stand in unity. Let us stand in a place that lets God be God. Let us pray for the coming of the kingdom of God in this city, in our churches, in our lives, for those that need to know that, for our Muslim friends, for our atheist friends, for those who feel unworthy of God's love. Let us pray, thy kingdom come. Let it begin here, as we hold in our prayer our city, our people, as our generosity flows out to all who are in need this night. How very good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
Thank you, Ronald. Well, now, in a moment, we're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to sing a song first in which I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. So, in a sense, we're offering ourselves to this commitment. We're offering ourselves to God in prayer and to this ministry of praying for others. And So we're going to sing this song now. So let's offer ourselves, in a sense, to this ministry of prayer, to God in this ministry of prayer. Thank you. Well, now we are going to turn to prayer now. But before we actually pray, we're going to watch a video clip, a short video clip, which is spoken over by Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury. I thought I'd do that, especially for the Anglican to see. But it's a great message about the effectiveness of prayer and the importance of continued prayer, persistent prayer, and that prayer works. Prayer changes lives. So we'll watch that in a moment, but let me explain first of all what we're going to do. Basically, there are three prayer stations which I invite you to visit and stay for as long as you wish to pray along the theme of that particular station. Remembering this kind of theme that flows underneath the thing of praying for new Christians, of what if God stepped into that situation? So use our imaginations maybe of how things would look and pray for that. So basically there are three prayer stations. The first one is out here in this area we call the foyer, really, for want of a better term. And it's kind of just up there on the wall of facing back onto here. And we've called it a wailing wall. It's been up for nearly a week. And we began to think that people didn't understand what wailing wall was. Of course, we who know kind of the Jewish community know the significance of that. But we've adapted it today, called it wailing wall / prayer wall. It really is inviting you to post up there on one of the post-it notes. If you want to write on the wall, that's fine, you can do that as well. But write up there, what is your heartfelt cry to God? For this world, in all its brokenness, for individual lives that you know of, that's just going through such dark times, or some other situation, what is your heartfelt cry? What would be your heartfelt cry to God? So it's a kind of prayer, just by stating what it is. So a lot of people have just put Manchester this week. We all know what it means. It's a heartfelt cry to God. For that. So just visit that wall. It might not take you long, it might take you longer, you might want to pray around what you've put up there, but stick it on the prayer wall. The second station is at the back corner back there. What if God should truly step into the life of our nation in a powerful way? How would our nation look? How would society look? How would our life together in this country look if God came in power in all the issues that we face as a nation? There's a picture of a ballot boxer being apolitical rather than party political, reminding us that there's an election coming up. We can pray that through whoever gets elected, that God's purpose will be fulfilled. And praying for issues of the nation. There's some sheets there, if you wish, to use with some prayers on them about various issues concerning the nation, the government, all sorts of things. So if you want to use a sheet, you don't have to do so. But that's there, praying for the nation. What if God should step in power? What if? Let's pray for it. Let's pray that God will. On the back corner on that side is what this overriding theme of the prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, is about, praying for others to come to know Christ. And the whole idea of this 10 days is that people pledge to pray. They're encouraging us to pray for 5 people and to continue in prayer, not just for these 10 days, but to continue in prayer way past these 10 days of this initiative. Pray for those individuals. So that area is simply, and it has a little slip like that, with 5 lines on it, really, for you to write down the names of people you would dearly love to see become Christians, to discover the love of God in their lives. That's your pledge before God to pray for them. If you can't think of 5 people, then don't worry about that. God will lay others on your heart after today, I dare say. But that's just an opportunity to make your pledge before God, to pray for people to become Christians, to come to know Christ in their lives. So those three opportunities, visit each one, visit one of them, visit how many you like, or none of them, that's up to you. And you don't have to visit them in order. If you do that, well, there'll be a great queue, so kind of mix and match. But finally, when you've done with visiting those three stations, and that's why we kept the session to a small number, really, we want to encourage you to come back into your seat or here in the centre of the church and sit and listen to God. We're going to be praying in silence. There's not going to be any distraction of music or anything else in the background. We might hear the noise from outside, although we might close the doors for a bit. But to listen to God and ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you what part you might play in bringing his kingdom to be. Thy kingdom come. We pray the prayer so often, but what part might we play? So that might be something you want to ask God. Or ask God simply to reveal something to you, some new light on a situation that you know of where, yes, for his kingdom to come. Maybe you get a part, maybe something else needs to happen. So really, just ask God to reveal those things to you. So visit the stations, come back to pray quietly, silently, seeking God and listening to God. Now, to lead us into this time of prayer, we're going to listen to or watch a video clip called The Light, encouraging us to understand the effectiveness of our prayer.
Very often people question and debate the purpose of prayer, and they do so understandably. But when they do, I often find myself thinking of individual stories, an individual like Luke, for example. Luke is an artist and filmmaker whose drug addiction took a grip of his life in his late 20s. Luke's ambitions and relationships fell apart, and the darkest period of his life took hold. He realised he had a serious problem and tried everything within his capacity at the time to get well. Nothing worked. Unknown to him, throughout this period, his mum had been praying this very simple prayer: "Please, Lord, welcome him and let him know you're with him. This addiction is beyond our influence. I pray you can send the right people to help, and I pray you can give him a second chance to do the work I truly believe you intended for him." Well, one day, a chance meeting with a stranger led him to church, except it obviously wasn't a chance. On that day, Luke encountered Jesus Christ. A network of prayer and recovery groups quickly opened up to him. Now, after over 7 years of continuous sobriety, Luke is free from the terror and pain of addiction. He participates in running the recovery groups that helped him and takes the experience and hope into prisons. He's travelled the world making films, many of which are about the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ, including this one. The prayers spoken by Luke's mum and his subsequent freedom from addiction echo many thousands of life-transforming testimonies around the world. Whatever our struggles, through the confusion and the mess of the world, when life just doesn't make sense, or when it makes huge sense, so both in our darkest and in our happiest moments, Christ is with us, always. Through prayer, Jesus invites us to come alongside him, to take part. God doesn't only meet one in the depths. Christ is available to each of us. He's there for us, wherever we are, whatever our story is. That's why I invite you to join the many thousands of people that have already pledged to pray during Ascension and Pentecost, so that more people would come to know a life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let's join our voices to those prayer, that prayer of that mother, and feel free to move around as you want, stay where you are, just as you choose. This time is your time, and we'll come back together in just a while.
hesitate to break in, but it was just time we didn't kind of draw to a close in the sense of this part, but in terms of your listening to God, was it easy? I don't find it easy, but it's good and important that we do tune in, try and tune in to what he's saying. I hope being at the stations has kind of helped you in many ways to focus our praying. But I just wonder whether anybody would like to share if there's anything that you feel that God was prompting you in, some particular thing that God was saying to you that you feel you can share, or a general reflection maybe on the situation of what would God's kingdom look like in a given situation. We've got a mic, rubber mics, so if you wanted to share, then please do. Any particular? Because this is hard, I know. The one thing that not the first time that God said it to me, but it comes to me tonight as well, that we pray for God's kingdom to come, God's kingdom rule to come. And actually that begins with me. How much is his rule absolutely effective in my life? And that's probably the case for a lot of people. But it came to me again tonight, and I think I was saying, well, it's okay praying for my kingdom to come, but is my kingdom rule effective in you? Okay, anyone else? Okay, well, I think it's now Josh is going to come and share just one concluding prayer with us to kind of draw our prayers together. And we're going to pray a prayer that is being said everywhere to do with thy kingdom come. It's the thy kingdom come prayer. And but Josh, you lead us. Thank you.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to gather here in unity, that we are able to gather here to seek your face, that we are able to gather here to listen to your voice, and that we are able to gather here to bring our petition. We thank you for this gift of prayer that we are able to raise up to you. Needs of the world, of the church, of individuals that we know, and of those issues that are known to us alone. We thank you that we are able to approach you, who transcends all of our divisions. One who transcends all that divides us. And we come here today, Lord, praying around this theme of evangelism, that your kingdom may come, that your kingdom may come in our nation, here in Lichfield. The lives of those whom we know and pray for, and praying that your kingdom may come anew, in a new and a fresh way to those who may have not experienced it before. Yes. Praying that as your Son, Jesus Christ, ascended and glorified, may he be glorified in them. And we pray this day that our own prayers may be joined with the prayers of our risen high priest. That our prayers for us, and we know that our prayers for our nation, that our prayers that thy kingdom come may be taken like incense by the Spirit through Christ to be made to you. So as we gather all our prayers together, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless this coming next few days to the Feast of Pentecost, that your Spirit may bless each of our prayers, each of our events, that your Spirit may raise us to be with Christ, that your Spirit may pour out afresh in this land, in Lichfield, and in the lives of those who we know and pray for, that your Spirit may, like the day of Pentecost, bring new life, new hope, new strength, that thy kingdom come in our land, and thy kingdom come in our own lives. So we pray together that thy kingdom come prayer.
Almighty God, your ascended Son has sent us into the world to preach the good news of your kingdom. Inspire us with your Spirit and fill our hearts with the fire of your love, that all who hear your word may be drawn to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we come now to sing our closing hymn, which is Hear the Call of the Kingdom. Would you please stand?
In your church notices on Sunday, but there is a little A5 sheet on the little low table at the back between the two doors, which highlights some of the events. It's not all of the events, I realise, but some of the events that are going on in the various churches around the city throughout these 10 days. So do share in them, Don't just stick to your own church. If you have an opportunity to go and share with someone else in another church, then please do that. That sense of unity in prayer, as Rod was saying, is so important. So there's information about the events that are on. And then there's also this sheet, the Global Wave of Prayer, and it's a way of praying for yourself and others for God's kingdom to come. It's pretty self-explanatory. Well, I think it is anyway. But have a look at it. Take one with you and use it if it's appropriate for you throughout these few days of the initiative. There's also a few, not that many, but it's just a few of a similar sheet for young people and one for children. So if you have someone or a family that you think might use that, then please take one of those as well. But the main one is the white one for adults to use throughout this period. So I think that's all that's on the table. Yes, that's the only of all the things. Thank you for coming and sharing this in this, and thank you to all who've taken part. So as we go out from here, let's pray for each other in this ministry of prayer as we say the words of the grace together. So let's pray the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And remember, your prayers make a difference.